All right, everyone, we're trying to reel you in. This week I've been fighting a chest cold like many of you have, some sort of illness, whatever. And I'm thankful for health, okay? It's when you're sick, what would you call it there, Chris? The man what? The man sickness. It's always good to have somebody there, a wife, a mother, somebody to take care of you. Isn't that true? But I looked outside today and I just said, I am glad I'm getting healthier. When you're sick, sometimes you forget what health feels like. Isn't that true? You don't have to be sick very long to whine about it. So I am really glad that God has given us the ability for our bodies to recover from most things, and it's always good to praise God when you do, when you are sick and you start coming out of it, to remind the Lord how grateful you are. Our series is entitled Thanks For, and there's a blank. Fill in the, so there's a million things we could put that we're very grateful for. It can be people, can be things, can be possessions, can be happenings, etc. But this month, we're going to use that idea for 4 weeks, and we're going to fill in the blank for you. But first of all, you got to understand what thanks is. We think we know what it is, but the Cambridge Dictionary defines it this way. Thanks, the word thanks, means to express to someone that you are pleased about or are grateful for who they are or what they've done for you. Does that make sense? That's what thanks is. We use it all the time, but it's like the words, I love you, or in church, the words, hallelujah. They tend to just blur over time and lose their meaning, and they just become words that we say. And I know the word thanks, or thank you, or I appreciate it, can become the same. We're just used to saying them in the American culture. And we tend to forget really why we're saying it or even about the person who we're saying it to. Have you ever been in a restaurant and a waitress has come by, she's refilled your coffee, and you just said, and you never looked at her? We do that all the time. And we don't do it intentionally, it's just become what? It's become a habit. So each week in the series, we're going to try to direct your attention, and the speakers will direct our own attention to ourselves, but we want to direct your attention towards God. Ultimately, with all four of these messages, we're going to say thanks to God this week, and then for the whole month. We want to express gratitude and appreciation to Him, A, for who He is, and B, what He has done. And we're going to look at four specific areas. There's, a gazillion areas that we could thank the Lord for. But we're going to thank Him today for simply loving us. Pretty simple. We're going to thank the Lord for loving us. Now, most of us have grown up in a home where you were taught to say, thank you. True? If you remember your parents telling you that, or if you're a child or a teen and your parents have told you that, raise your hand. Okay, that would be the vast majority of us. How long did it take you to get your kids to do that? I mean, just to utter the words and not necessarily even mean the words, but to utter the words. Did it take you a while? So now we think of ourselves as children and we're God's children. How long do you think God's been trying to get you to say thanks or thank you to Him for all that He's done for us? Trunk and Treat every year is a great event. We just did that on Tuesday. Our church goes down there. We keep every dentist in a four-county area happy. We get about thousands of little pieces of candy. And it was really cool to see parents walk behind their kids. And if the child didn't say thank you, what did the parents say generally? They say, what do you say? What do you say? Well, what happens when a child does not say thank you? Sully, stand up. This is Sully Braden. Now, Sully Braden is one of the nicest young men in our church. And I took that picture, Sully, for this moment. You're an object lesson. You may sit down. Sully always says thank you. He's the kindest, nicest boy that I know in our church that is still alive. But that is, you know, that's the way we feel as parents, don't we? If we take our child and they forget to say thank you, it ticks you off a little bit because you've told them how many times. And when a child doesn't say thank you and the parent's right there, what does that say about the parents? So somehow we internalize all of that. So this week, knowing that I was going to speak or introduce the subject of thanks, and especially to God about thanking Him for loving us, I read several articles dealing with the power of gratitude. And some of those were scientific articles. Read about the positive effects of saying the word thank you, both for yourself, the positive effects for yourself, but also to the person that you're addressing it to. And then just the practice of appreciation, regularly telling people how much you appreciate them. Here's what one author had to say. He said, expressing gratitude and appreciation are essential to enjoying life now and in the future. Thankfulness plays an important role in fortifying us in times of adversity. In other words, when you go through tough times, the article and the author is saying, if you have practiced being grateful and appreciative to others around you, it gives you the internal courage to get through tougher times. Why? Because you know you have a support team. You know there's people out there that care about you. And you know that that tough times only last for a short time. Did you think about that one? Tough times last how long? A short time. When you think of the entirety of your life, how many rainy days have you really had as opposed to sunny days? How many days of health have you had opposed to the days of illness? Not only fortify us in times of adversity, but they build our relationships. When you're thankful to somebody and you express your appreciation to others, it helps build that relationship. Nothing more really needs to happen, but it lets the other person know that you're valuable to them. It lets them know that you've noticed something about them, true? But it also makes a difference now and in the future because it becomes a habit pattern in your life. The author went on to say, appreciation reminds us of what has strengthened and shaped us in the past. What has strengthened and shaped us in the past. And the author finishes that little bit and he says, it keeps us from growing hard, cynical, bitter, and keeps us from taking others and life as a whole for granted. It becomes a practice that builds your life towards something positive. Now, personally, I found that when you mull over people and what they have done for you, not to you, but what? For you, it forces you to look up in the sense that you're grateful to God for this person. They don't even have to be a Christian. You're just grateful that God placed a positive person in your life. It helps you to look forward in the sense that it's like going along the trail and finding a gold nugget. Oh, there might be another one. And then there is, and then there is. When you find good things in life, it develops your mental outlook, forward thinking. Does that make sense? But it also causes you to look around. When you're grateful to this person or for this event, you begin to look at the rest of the world and the rest of your life and find other good things that generally we tend to forget or we overlook. But also, it forces you to look behind. When you're grateful to somebody, maybe for a promotion, maybe for a compliment on something, some other achievement, it really, in my life anyway, I tend to look back at where I was, and the reason I'm here is because of this person or this event. It shows you how far you've what? How far you've come. Because the tendency for all of us, including myself, is to look down. I've talked about looking up, looking forward, looking around us, and then looking behind us, but it generally forces most people to look down with a sense of defeat, with a sense of discouragement. When bad stuff happens, we want to just sink down and we take our eyes off everything around us. But sometimes when stuff is happening in our life that we view as bad, we internalize it. We look within and we become very selfish. We begin to think that life and people are against who? Against us. But also we look within because we have all of us have very unrealistic expectations for those people in our life. It's like the lady comes and she fills up your coffee cup. Already in our mind, we're grumbling. She should have been here sooner. And we fail to realize that she has waited on six other tables or maybe 20 different people. You see, all of us internalize stuff and we make it about us. And the focus of this message and for the month is to take our focus off what's going on in here. I'm sick today. I didn't even know if I'd be standing up today. But I'm here, and I didn't focus on how I felt or how I'm feeling. I'm focusing on what God would have me to do or to be. So research in one article said people who practice, I found this very enlightening personally. People who practice being grateful, whatever form you want to use, people who practice being grateful show significantly higher levels of happiness and psychological well-being. They've done studies on this. They do studies on everything, right? But if you practice gratitude, you're a happier person. Makes sense, doesn't it? But not only that, it helps balance out the biggest problem you and I have in our life, and that's ourselves. Because we're inherently very selfish people. Article went on, says, if you practice gratitude, it says, those that do are less depressed, less anxious, less stressed, and they report having less symptoms of physical pain. I found that very intriguing. They have greater success at work because they do these studies and they find out how they're getting along in work, promotions, all of that. Greater success at work, better relationships with the people in their life, and a more realistic sense of self-esteem and self-worth. Now, I don't know about you. Does that sound like something you might buy into? If I had a pill here and could give it to you and say, this, take this pill, that would be the benefits of the pill. Would you take the pill? At least you'd consider it, true? All you have to do is be more what? Grateful, more appreciative. Say thank you more often. And then the article said this, thankfulness can be cultivated just like healthy eating habits. I read that, and I think it was on Thanksgiving, on Halloween Day I read that. I still ate the Snickers anyway. It can be cultivated. You can have healthy eating habits, but you have to work at it. Exercise. You know you should do it, right? But we just don't get around to it. Or we let somebody else exercise for us. Things can be developed in your life, and gratefulness is one of those. It said it requires regular, intentional, and heartfelt practice. The idea of heartfelt is this. You have to want to do it, and you have to want to do it for the right reason. Not to get people on your side or to make yourself look good. You have to do it because, A, God has blessed you with these events, these people, and every human being, and this is hard for me to understand at times, every human being is made in the image of God. Maybe a broken image. But God values human life. And for us to dismiss people just because they don't measure up to our standards or somehow they failed our element of perfection would be wrong. Agreed? So my challenge to you in November is this. We've got most of a month left. Is to reflect on the people and the events in your life that have helped you to become who you are and where you are. And that includes the events that you thought at one time were bad or horrible. Because without that event, you would not be who you are today. I want you to reflect on those. And then learn to practice gratitude each and every day. So here's what I'm going to have up on the screen here. Four verses, four passages. at your table, I only want you to choose one. So this is, we'll pretend it's a democracy. Majority rules at your table. Find one passage that you want to look at. Somebody's going to read that, and then you're just going to ask yourself, in light of this passage, what is one thing I'm going to do today to express my gratitude, my appreciation, my thanksgiving? So you're going to read the passage, think about the passage, and each of you get to share one thing that you're going to do when? Today. We're starting our November push on gratitude when? Today. Go ahead. Take a couple minutes to do that. Father, you know our prayers, you know what we've talked about here, and all of us here want to be more appreciative, and we're human. We just take people, we take your blessings, we take the good things in our life for granted. So starting today for the rest of the month, Lord, enable us, strengthen us to be more appreciative of life, and in doing so, we will reflect you to those around us, we pray in Christ's name. Turn in your Bible. Most of you got your Bibles open or turned on. Turn to the book of James, chapter 1, towards the end of the New Testament. If you come to Hebrews, it's the book just to the right of that. If you've come to Revelation, you're a little too far. Book of James. We're going to be in chapter 1. This is a key passage that should help us in our thinking on the idea of being more appreciative, more grateful, etc. And it's in James chapter 1. It keeps us from being self-centered. It keeps us from being self-obsessed with us and our pursuit of life. In James chapter 1 and in verse 17, whatever version you have, you can follow along. Let me read this to you. Every good and perfect what? How many gifts? Every. Now, this is worth pausing and thinking over. It didn't say some. It didn't say those gifts that we feel are good or we think are good. It just makes a blanket statement. Every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. So every good gift comes from who? God. Now, have any of you ever received a gift at a birthday or maybe Christmas time, and you got the gift and you unwrapped it and you went, oh, thank you. And the face alone tells it, but maybe you're better than me. Maybe you're able to mask it and you thought, what is this? Or I don't need this. I've got 12 of these. Or I wouldn't, if this was the last thing on earth, I wouldn't buy it. And you're looking at something and you say, thank you. Sometimes you get gifts like that and you don't know what they're there for. You don't know the intent of the other person, true? But the other person got it for you. There's times in life God gives us something. And the quality of it is what? Good and perfect. It doesn't say that you ordered it from Amazon. Okay, it came from God. He gave it to you for a reason. You say, like what? Are you a parent? Think of your children. You ever wonder why you got the kids that you got? It's not what you ordered. It's not what you were dreaming about. You wanted this nice little poster child. Yes, this is my son or my daughter. Their name is Gerber. Some of you will remember what Gerber means. Okay, it's the perfect child. Oh, no. Now the other family got that child from you. So you end up with, but God has a reason in everything that happens in our life. And most of the reason is to teach us to be more like Jesus, to shape our lives so that God can use us in the lives of others. So it comes down from the Father, the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And that part of the verse we would generally just leave off. We wouldn't even think about it, except it tells us that God's character is such, he never changes. God never changes. So if he was good yesterday, what's he going to be today? Good. And if he's going to give us a good gift yesterday and today, what do you think is going to happen in the future? It's all good, folks, because it's on God's agenda, not yours. So we have to start viewing life through God's lenses and quit being a little selfish, thinking that we should have everything that we want. Because, be honest, have you ever wanted something so bad that when you got it, it wasn't what you wanted? It wasn't what you thought. Yes? I think I've told you this before. My mom used to hide chocolate on me. But Don was smart. Don would observe Mom from a corner, from underneath the kitchen table, because I was a little kid, and I'd see her have this chocolate, and then she'd get a little stool out, and she'd stand on it and put it up on top. Well, I tried that one day when Mom wasn't there. A little stool, Don was still little, couldn't reach it. So Don figured out, if Don gets up onto the counter and walks over to the counter with the little stool, puts a little stool on top of the stove, gets on top of that, he can get up there. Brilliant planning on my part, I'll tell you that. Got up on top there, pulled out that chocolate, and I thought to myself, nothing can get away from the Don. Opened up that chocolate, looked at that big old piece of chocolate, bit into it, and just mowed it. What kind of chocolate was that, ladies? Yeah, it wasn't the kind of chocolate I wanted. I got what I wanted, but it really what? It wasn't what I wanted. Sometimes in life, God gives us something, you don't want it. That's not what you had in mind. But I learned a valuable lesson. My mother taught me a valuable lesson. She later told me, I knew what you're going to do because I'm your mother. You realize, kids, you realize your parents set you up at times? They truly do. So our gratitude, first and foremost, has to be directed towards God. Say it, towards God. We need to realize that. And God does not play favorite. He doesn't pick half of the church and say, I'll be good to you, and to this half, yeah, not so much. He's good to everybody. God is good to everybody, but we have to see it from his perspective. Matthew 15:45, the latter part of that verse from the New Living Translation says this. And these are Jesus' words. For he, meaning his dad in heaven, gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. Are you grateful for the sunlight today? Especially if you were out on our trunk and treat on Tuesday night. This is a whole new day, folks. But the evil and the good. So guess what? He's taken care of all of us. Taken care of all of us. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. God's good to how many people? Everybody. But the good isn't always what you want. It's what he wants for you. Now, Pastor Josh is going to be talking about this in a couple weeks. He's going to be talking about the area of thankfulness and all the things that God has done for us. Now, can he talk about everything? No. But he's going to try to highlight some of the key things that you and I this month need to really remember. So here's what I'd like you to say. Our title is Thanks for Fill in the Blank, It's Loving Me. It's that simple. So we're going to say thanks for loving me. And who are we directing this towards? God. Ready? Thanks for loving me. Now, the New Living Translation of the Bible, the word love is used 645 times. In the NIV, because we use both those translations a lot here in church, it's only used 574 times because it uses other words. What we have to understand, most of the times the word love is used, it's always talking about who God is, his character, or the things that he does for us. There's a few times in the Bible where you see this, I love you, you love this person. You see that kind of human love, but no, most of the time it's all about God and his desire for us. Here's a couple verses that you may be familiar with. One is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's called drop the mic on that one. God demonstrates his own love. How much love does God have? And what kind of love does God have? He loved you at your very worst. He's better than your grandmother. God loves the entire world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And then it uses these words. God is, I don't know what your image of God is. The scripture says God's entire character, inwardness, is love. And whatever is in you, what? Comes out of you, the Bible says. All of God's actions are in your best interest. They're all because he cares about you. Last passage, most famous passage in the Bible, John 3:16. For God what? Well, how much did he love? That he gave his what? That should, but that's the kind of God we have, folks. Those three verses kind of sum up the Bible on the subject of love. Now, when you think of God's nature, it's love. Love is described in John 3:16 there. Love is a commitment. Love is a commitment from one person to another. It's a commitment of sacrifice, selflessness, totally independent of your response to that love. Love is not an emotion in the Bible. See, that's where as Americans we think it's all ooey-gooey. It has nothing to do with how much gooey you have. What it is a sacrificial act of one person for another, and it doesn't matter whether you spit in my face or not. That is biblical love. And we as Christians in our culture, we have to battle what our culture tells us and what the Bible tells us, because we're bombarded with emotional or erotic love descriptions. Would you agree? Love is simply an action of sacrifice. Now, we would think it's the kind of love that a parent has for a child, right? Maybe. Have you read some of the stuff in the paper lately about some parents? It's just horrendous. So humans are not capable of God-type love unless God has taken over control of their life. When God gave his gave us life, he was totally, think of this, he was totally aware of the choices you would make with that life. Now see, when you give birth to a child, you have all the best wishes in the world, don't you? Don't you just think, oh, I want my kid to be this and this and this, and I want him to be happy and all that. And then you watch your child just basically destroy their life. Some of us here can relate to that. You see, you never chose that child's actions for themselves. God loves us in spite of our actions. When he created you, he knew what you would do with your life. But yet he still gave you the chance. He still gave you the right to choose. That's what love does. Love sacrifices, love gives, and it doesn't matter what your response is. He knew the hurt that the world would cause. Think what God is doing up in heaven as he watches what's going on in the nation of Israel. It's not about picking sides. Just think of what human beings are doing to human beings. Whatever side of the coin you want to be on. And God still loves us. He gives us the ability to choose to do right or to do wrong. Because if you don't give people free will and a free choice, it's no longer love. You've created a machine. God loves us still. His love is incomprehensible. We read passages like this one in Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is one of those books you probably have not read recently. It's not on the top 10 list of church people. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. We are not consumed. Because God loves you, he doesn't come down to your life when you make a mistake and go like you would to a fly that's bugging you. It's only because God's love that we still have the right to breathe today. Do you understand that? He has a purpose for your life. He's counted out the days of your life from here to here. You don't know when it ends. God does. He gives you a timeline. And all he asks is that you play nice with each other and to love him. Why is that so complicated? Why do we make it complicated? We are not consumed because of his love. For his compassions, what? Never fail. They are new every morning. Isn't that great? Every morning you get up, God's there going, hey, come on, sleepy, get up. I love you. Gucci, Gucci, goo. God loves you. He wants to spend the day with you. It says, they are new every morning. Great is your... When someone loves us, we should express our what? Gratitude. There's all kinds of words. Our appreciation, our thankfulness. All those are good words, right? We should. How faithful is God? It says all the time. So tell me about your appreciation to God, even this morning. Did you spring out of bed and go, thank you, God, for another chance to worship you? Not thinking you did. Not if you're like me. You are just like, you're going, am I alive? Am I taking a pulse? You see, it's so easy for us to just take life for granted. We got up yesterday, why not get up today? But you realize not everybody is going to wake up the next day. Tuesday night, little kids and parents were saying thank you. A lot of thank yous were going around, folks. And they were saying thank you for candy. Thank you for your church doing this nice event. How nice of you. I'm just telling you comments that people said to me. Thank you for all the great costumes. Our people really did a great job this year dressing up and fixing up their cars. And then they said, you're so nice to come out here and stand in the snow and give our kids candy. They're thankful for what? Candy. Are you thankful for the gift of life? Your spouse, your children, a job, your health, the ability to move in some form of cohesion, you know, where your body is actually moving forward when it's supposed to. Think of all the little things that you and I take for granted. And they're thanking us like over and over for candy. Are we thanking God over and over for those blessings? Do you find yourself taking God for granted? Yes? I think you'd be a liar if you said no. You're definitely not thanking God as much as you thank a waitress when she refills your coffee. Or at least the vast majority of us aren't. Do you know people who take other people for granted? Maybe take you for granted? Child, spouse, employer, employee. They take you for what? Granted. They walk around with a mentality or an air about them of entitlement. Well, you should refill my coffee because I'm me. I'll clean my socks and underwear, knave, because they're mine. Isn't that the way we act? We have names for those people. Here's the names that we can say in church. They're a brat. They're ungrateful. Oh, it gets worse. They're a user, a taker, a mooch, a sponge. None of those are very flattering, would you agree? But that's what we're thinking when somebody treats us. We buy a present for somebody and they just, yeah, whatever. Or we do something kind for somebody and it's whatever. As Christians, those We are people who God has created and people who God has saved. It's that simple. Now, do you need two more presents from God, two more gifts from God than life and born-again life? Ephesians 5:20. Here's our attitude, folks, or what it should be in November starting. Because if we practice this daily and do it for 2 weeks, daily for 2 weeks, the benefits will last for 6 months based on what studies tell us. You will be a different person for the next 6 months if you practice gratitude, appreciation, thankfulness every day for the next two weeks. It will last for 6 months in your lifestyle. You won't even be aware of it. And we're going to practice this for the rest of the month. So, we're good for another year maybe. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God. How often? The Father, or God, thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I lay there in my chair last night, gagging and hacking because I could not lay down because I felt as though I could not breathe. And I'm sitting there and just before I doze off, I said, Lord, thank you for teaching me how much I appreciate being healthy. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, in whatever, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How thankful should we be? Very. How often? A lot. Okay? So my challenge to you during the month of November is be more grateful. Can you do that? Can we? We get to start today, and we talked about that. Be more grateful for who you are and what God has already done in your life. Be more grateful for your family, for your church, for your work, for your school, for those people that have invested in you. Be more what? Grateful, appreciative, thankful. And see what the Lord does in your life in the next few weeks, just if you start today. Our theme this week is thank you for loving me. Put your hand there and just say that to God right now. Thanks for loving me. Next week, it's thank you for using me. Thank you, God, for using me. Pastor Josh is going to talk the following week. Thank you for all you've done for me. And I think when he gets done talking with his message, we're going to go home and do a little scratching in our heads and start writing down all the things that God has done for us. I'm 72 years old. I know I look like I'm 99 and a half, but I'm 72 years old. I have a list on my computer of 72 things that I'm grateful for, one for every year that I've been alive. Because if we don't do that, we take it for granted, or in my case, we begin to forget. The last week will be our church's 30th anniversary, and it's thank you for writing with me. Thank you for writing with me, and I'll explain that to you. Being grateful is tough because we're inherently selfish, and we live in a world that says you are owed something. True? It's tough, folks, to be grateful all the time. Anybody can say to a waitress, without ever looking up, shoveling food in our mouth, and going, as she pours the coffee. It's another thing to look her in the eye, to lift your little face up and look her in the eye when she pours that coffee and say, I want to thank you for that. Are you having a good day? Watch this. Can I pray for you? Changes the world, folks, when we do things like that. It changes the world. Father, we are so grateful today we could gather in your house, we could look at your word, we could again be reminded of how great a God you really are. We do not deserve you, and we definitely do not deserve the goodness that you've bestowed upon us. So we humbly say to you, thank you so much for caring for us. Thank you for our life. Thank you for all the blessings. Thank you for saving us. And we want to worship you, Father. We want to give you heartfelt praise for all that you've done and for who you are. Help us to be a little less self-centered and a little more outward focus and upward focus this week, starting today. We all said, amen. Would you stand and worship with us?